I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, you know it when you see it. You know when you're in farm country, because what you see is wheat and barley and pulse crops. And at this time of year, you see a lot of machinery out there. And at this time of year, one thing I noted, the unemployment rate in Ponderé County, not very high. We are 4:06 in today. It is the Thank the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour on Voices of Montana, live from the Golden Triangle, Conrad, Montana, and Frontline Ag Solutions today on Voices of Montana. Yeah, we're two decades strong and working on three, an objective perspective. We mean that. We work hard at that from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We'll keep pounding away at it, and thank you for being here, too, making us part of your Montana mornings. It's one, I think, of the honors that we have as broadcasters and just as members of our community and our society is to get out and be in these areas that, like I said, Andy Schwab with us as well from the Northern Ag Network. I don't know. I can't even put words to it. It's really great to be outside Conrad, Montana, Frontline Ag Solutions, and honoring our farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. And the harvest that's going on, too. I mean, it's so great to get out and see that firsthand and how hard these guys are working, not just right now, but throughout the whole year, too, you know, to get this crop ready to produce that food and fuel and fiber for the nation, for Montana, for it being Montana's number one industry. It's so great to get out here and see it firsthand.
Devin McLaylin will join us a bit later on. He's one of the new ag teachers at Conrad High School, an FFA advisor as well. Got a couple of students with him. Cole Waldusky and Madeline Stokes will be joining us a bit later on. You know, we'll ask them and talk to them about, and Devin in particular, he specifically came to Conrad, wanted to teach ag, wanted to share that those values. And so that'll be a bit later on. Lou Jones will join us as well, representative for this area, a longtime, very respected lawmaker. I heard him say former FFA president himself, so that'll be good. And let's welcome our first guest, Andy. Our first guest, I should say, Cindy Johnson and Ken Johnson. Cindy is the president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, and Ken, partner, and you guys partner together in the operation, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Cindy, how are you?
I am excellent. Thank you.
Is it an unusually beautiful day here? Or
Well, it's not too hot. The weather is great. The wind isn't blowing yet, and which is unusual for this area. But we just experienced a little bit of rain. It was a little sparse on the eastern edge of the county, but the rest of the county got some decent rain, you know, so that always gives you hope for the future.
Ken, why don't you tell us about the operation first and how crops are looking? Because I was speaking with somebody yesterday, and they were thinking some lots were giving 90 acre per bushel. I think that's rather high.
We didn't have anything near that. Yeah. We had some property over in Choteau County, and that did a little bit better, about 20% better than we did right around the home. But we're a whole lot better than last year, but they kind of missing out on rain still. We're only about 4.5-5 inches of rain across the farm since January 1st, so we're kind of a little bit short still. So the crops are way better than last year, where we didn't harvest about a third of it, but
yeah,
things are okay.
Well, looking forward as we go to the planting time, you know, that's going to be around the corner before too long. What's that mean, that lack of moisture? What's that mean for as we get into this the planting season here a couple months down the road?
Well, we're hoping for some I was just looking at a long-range weather forecast that calls for some increased precipitation at the end of the month, so above normal anyway, so we're hopeful that will give us some topsoil moisture in order to get the crop started.
Cindy, what's it like depending on the weather for your livelihood? I mean, can you even describe that?
Well, it when I used to coach with Lou Jones, and he often referred to our difficult moments as the struggle bus. Sometimes you feel that life is like that, you know, but you have to have a positive attitude. If you're going to be this kind of gambler and farm for a living, you've got to always have a positive attitude and look to the future. You know, there are always some big roadblocks that government entities and the weather pose to you, but there are lots of people out there that can help you with all those problems.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people to talk to. You have lots of organizations that work in your behalf, that advocate for you, and that's what it means to be part of something bigger than you. Belong, show up, participate, and then you do not feel like it's a worthless cause.
Yeah. Ken, what? How many acres are you operating?
Oh, we got a little over 4,000, so.
Yeah. And do you guys have that sense of that family business, that pride, that whole spirit, passed on from generations?
Yeah, we kind of do. Yeah. We've got a new generation that's kind of working their way into the farm right now,
yeah.
So this is kind of an interesting time for us.
That's good, and that's something that we can talk about, too, is making that transition to that younger generation. We're speaking with your daughter, Carly, tomorrow?
Nope.
No, no relation.
No relation. Oh. How did I get that wrong?
I'm not sure.
I'm thinking Sheridan.
Sheridan.
Yeah.
Sheridan. Yeah. Of course, Sheridan interned with us for that one summer, and man alive, we miss her dearly because she was such a great worker. And I think you see that, too. We'll talk with some FFA kids later, but this next generation, Cindy, it seems like they, especially these ones that come from these rural communities, have that drive of wanting to get out of bed in the morning and want to go put that crop in the ground, if you will.
Yep. And if they find themselves in a position where there is not a challenge, that's a real struggle for them. And for them to be enthusiastic about coming back into agriculture is very heartwarming for us and for the communities. You know, they love to see that next generation come back to the farm. We'll celebrate 100 years in 4 years.
Wow.
1927, yeah.
Your family production?
Yeah, this, Ken's family.
Wow. Wow. Talk about that transition then. I mean, that's a lot of years.
It is a lot of years, and things have changed a lot in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
We're much bigger than they were back then, of course, and just the technology that's employed on the farm is amazing, what we're doing now to make things more efficient and try to make eking a living out of it.
Yeah. Ken Johnson, Cindy Johnson with us here. We're live on the Montana Farmers Harvest Tour at Frontline Ag Solutions on Voices of Montana. Cindy, as president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, you noted there are organizations out there that help. And I think one of the things, and maybe this goes back a little ways, because the Farm Bureau's been around a long while, but the organization, I think, has helped the farming community really survive and thrive.
Oh, immensely. They have been advocating on our behalf, well, Montana Farm Bureau, since 1919. And they worked closely with Montana Extension in those years. And then that relationship kind of separated when Montana Farm Bureau realized that they needed to be involved politically and Extension couldn't have a part in that role. And so while Montana Farm Bureau was instrumental because of their boys and girls groups in the early years, they were instrumental in the creation of 4-H in Montana. And they remain committed to supporting that organization, and they've always been strong supporters of FFA. And in addition to the youth and the education, we provide leadership opportunities, you know, for people mm-hmm. who want to get more involved. And then, of course, we advocate on behalf of Montana agriculture, both at the local, state, and national level.
Yeah, speaking of that, you were just in D.C. not too long ago with the Council of Presidents and got to meet with a bunch of folks from all over the country and also the folks that are making some decisions back in D.C. What were some of those highlights that you brought home with you from that?
Well, farm labor remains a huge issue across the nation, and we're not seeing any resolution to that. The adverse effect wage rate has created a lot of problems for small farmers because wages that must be paid to H-2A employees are dictated by sources that are not local. And so those rates are determined somewhere else and imposed on local farmers and ranchers. And it makes it very, very difficult for them to remain competitive. If they had large operations and deeply entrenched labor systems or people that they could contract with for labor, then that would be different. But we're not like that. You know, we are, by and large, across Montana, smaller producers. We are not large, large corporations.
What solutions are forwarded that help?
Well, regarding the adverse wage rate, one of the things that need to be done is to consider the local conditions. And another thing is to not just take, for instance, the wage rates are determined by, like I said, entities that are not local. So they're federal agencies or maybe state agencies or wage and labor agencies, some entities, and they all have their numbers. And they use those numbers and assign a wage rate. Let us do that locally. Mm. Let us remain competitive. Mm-hmm. The H2A program is so onerous for people who do use it. And they're required to provide so much more to those H2A employees than they provided their own employees, either their traditional employees. You don't provide your traditional employees with housing and transportation mm-hmm. and fuel. And it's just not reasonable. Let us have a, you know, I don't think that the federal agencies really listen to Western agriculture when they start implementing mm-hmm. some of these rules.
I think that's the case. Ken, how many additional workers, and you talked about the technology has helped an awful lot in reducing that labor. What kind of issues do you have individually with that?
Our labor is family.
Yeah.
So we don't have any non-family members with us. There's mm-hmm. four of us on the place, so yeah. We really don't have the issues of the H2A or any other employee good. Issues as far as just the family.
And as long as they're all here and healthy, too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And willing, you know. Willing, yes. The best piece of advice I ever got as a woman brand new to agriculture, again, after growing up in agriculture, was don't ever agree to learn to operate a piece of equipment that you don't want to operate. So I can drive the combine, and I do, and I can drive the sprayer, and I do, and occasionally I can drive a truck, and I can certainly drive the tractor, but I won't drive that 66 cab over Kenworth.
And Ken, you don't operate the dishwasher then, right? Is that right?
Oh,
no.
Oh
no.
Wow.
You're trying to set me up here, aren't you?
He has to go home later.
I think I've got to go get some parts or something.
I don't know. I was just lobbying there. Apples to apples, I thought, but maybe not. Cindy, what do people need to know about our farmers today?
There's not a harder working bunch on the planet, truly. They are wholly dedicated to feeding us, clothing us, providing us fuel and shelter. And they want to do it in the most economical and environmentally friendly way. And for people to point the finger and say it's agriculture's fault is such an error. There are no more dedicated people to preserving our nation's public lands than Montana's farmers and ranchers, the Western farmers and ranchers.
Yeah.
And people just need to know that all you need to do is ask. And we are so willing to share. And we are all open about any information that we have, the chemicals that we use, practices that we use. Just ask.
Yeah.
You know, we're here with open arms.
Ken, why are you still a farmer?
Because I enjoy the change in jobs. Right now, harvest is underway, and then it'll change to seeding later, and then maintenance and office work in the wintertime and grain hauling. So it's just you don't have the same job every day.
Jack of all trades kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on and doing what you do, you know, here and for the community, for your families, but also, Cindy, nationally as well as president of the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. Anything going on coming up? You want to tease about?
Well, our lobbying efforts at the national level are ongoing. Right now, the Bureau of Land Management has introduced a rule to incorporate conservation.
Oh gosh, yes.
As one of the multiple uses for public lands in Montana. And that's a real concern for us because the way the rule is written, it appears to give conservation a priority over all of the other multiple uses. And in Montana, grazing is critical on public lands. We wouldn't have ranchers in operation if we weren't able to graze. But if we have to compete with NGOs and environmental organizations that have ulterior motives, we are not going to be in business.
It's just the wrong policy from this administration. Very much appreciate those comments, too, Cindy, and the work you guys do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cindy and Ken Johnson. We'll speak with Lou Jones next, a former FFA president. We are live on the For the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour, live from Frontline Ag Solutions in Conrad, Montana today on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Voices of Montana is broadcasting live from the For the Farmers Harvest Tour. Brought to you by Northern Ag Network and Busch Light. Proud supporters of Montana farmers.
In the Golden Triangle today, it is wheat and it's barley and it's pulse crops. Founded in 1919, population about 6,000. I just noted as I went to Google this morning, unemployment rate 2.1%. You can certainly believe that. A lot of hardworking farmers. We're out to thank them today on the Harvest Tour. Tom Schultz alongside Andy Schwab from the Northern Ag Network. I want to say hello and thanks to the folks from Frontline Ag Solution, Drew and Chad and Ken, Patrick, Cheyenne, JC, Josh, all inside. And thanks for welcoming us here as well. Lou Jones now joins us. He is the representative of House District 18 and well-known in these areas, former FFA president. I heard you say that. We're going to have some FFA students on in just a little bit here. That takes you back, huh?
Yeah, that's a few years ago. That's, sadly to say, 40-plus years ago.
but it still lives with you, though, doesn't it?
Oh, FFA was an outstanding organization. It's... I very much enjoyed the time I spent doing it in high school. I actually, in those days, I won the state mechanics contest and did a whole, was quite active in that realm and won the welding contests. And it was, but then there was very little MIGs or TIGs. It was pretty much all stick. And
yep.
So it's a different time, right? We have to remember we're not educating students for our time. We're educating students for their time. And they were born in a different time.
That's a really good point, too. Are we doing a good enough job of that?
You know, the opportunities, the state has the flexibility to do that. We've provided incredible flexibilities to these local schools. I was just talking about this with the gentleman that's the new ag instructor here.
Devin McClellan, yeah.
Yes, and about some of the advanced opportunities where we have created systems where monies can follow the students to the opportunity, whether it's getting your CNA nursing or your welding certificates or your mechanics one, kind of those stackable CTE credentials that matter so much to you and your jobs and your futures. So we have the flexibility to do that across all these schools. We don't always have the vision yet. We sometimes forget that we're not educating students for our time. We're educating students for their time. And but we're getting there, and I believe it's moving. It's certainly becoming more student-centric.
Well, to Andy, as you noted, and we'll talk with Devin here in a little while, FFA has just grown tremendously across the country and in Montana.
Yeah, they just announced their record large attendance. They're starting to approach 1 million members across the entire country. Yeah. I remember when I was in FFA, the first year I went to a national FFA convention was the first year it was in Indianapolis, where it's currently held still, and I couldn't believe the activities that they have there and just the camaraderie that they have amongst everybody to you know, get this next generation of leaders. It's not anymore future farmers of America. It's future leaders that they're really instilling the right messages into the youth, in my opinion, anyways.
It is a leadership building program, right, where it teaches you to have a voice, stand up, speak your voice. You know, your world is very much controlled by those who attend mm-hmm. and those who participate. And FFA encourages both
yeah.
and teaches how to do both well. And actually, Taylor Brown and I have a very similar conversation about the leadership skills in FFA and how that skill set is potentially lacking. And I'm glad to see that it's being enhanced yeah. and FFA is again expanding. It's something I certainly support.
Yeah. What's it like? You're a representative for this area. You've been in this area a long time, had businesses here. What's it like representing the Golden Triangle to the rest of the state?
Well, the Golden Triangle is obviously named, or it's a big ag grain producing area, grain pulse crops, as you stated. We're right in the center of this area, so the economy is all linked to ag in some manner, right? It's ag production, value-added ag. Without ag, this area certainly, as the truck going by yeah. sounds in the background,
I love it.
Without ag, this area would cease to be. And I grew up on a sheep ranch, right? And we still farm and ranch amongst the other stuff we do, part of this business and others. So I've always participated in that ag guy. It's a conservative, down-to-earth, hard-working folks. If you're unemployed here, you're choosing to be unemployed because there's tons of jobs available. You can work, you can get a skill set, you can make a good living, you can raise your family here. It's truly a special place.
Lou Jones again. What does it need? Talk. You look at the history, and has it gotten the resources it's needed? What does this area need? If it needs a shot in the arm, what is that shot in the arm?
We're consistently, we always have to remember times are different. That production ag is going to take less people now. Equipment's bigger, right? It's much more technological. And so for us to be able to maintain our schools and to be able to maintain the sizes that we are, we're not going to be able to just do production ag. We have to do some value added. We have to do and help those other small businesses that are often associated with ag exist here. Down the end of the street, you have Windrift Hills, right? They're using goat milk ag products to build something they're selling worldwide.
Yes. Mm.
Right? And you're seeing success stories such as that. Where our young folks move back here and they utilizing the tools of today, right? The internet. We own the Ford dealership here. My son does that, but he doesn't just sell here. He sells all over because he utilizes the tools of today, the skill set of today. We're located here. They're raising their families here, but they're marketing across the state. We've got to recognize that to be successful today, we live in these small communities, but we have to do business across larger communities.
You were you chaired the Appropriations Committee, and we've talked about that. That's a lot of work, and that's the major budget bill for Montana to get through. I've talked about 170 meetings or whatever. One of the important things is we sit here in this John Deere dealership, Frontline Ag, all this equipment that is necessary for these production, and you talk about the technology. There was big movement, I think, in helping ag with equipment taxes.
We did. It was a great session overall. I think good work was done. One of the key things that would help farms and production ag is the business equipment tax
yeah.
was changed mm-hmm. so that it now your first $1 million worth of equipment is exempt. Because when you look at the cost of equipment today, it doesn't take long to hit $1 million.
Right.
So it allows the hardworking folks on the farms utilizing this equipment to be able to be more to afford to survive today. So, yeah, it overall education-wise and the career tech end side on the investments in things like FFA mm-hmm. in advanced opportunities, we're investing in having those students be able to leave the schools to pursue opportunities that get them credentials, whether they're mechanics or diesel or nursing, whatever it is that meets that student. We drastically expanded and invested in those opportunities. We also invested in our university up here at Northern, our premier diesel school. We invested in putting about $25 million to expanding and doing some building up there that helps that school continue to offer their pathways for those students to choose that path.
The dealing with the budget. Now,
there's good years and there's bad years. And Montana at the state level had a pretty good year finance-wise. And maybe talk about that. But also, there's discipline that we know that our farming and our ranching community has because they don't always have good years. And so they're dealing with the same sort of scenario.
So, yeah, the state had a an interesting, I'll call it a one-time-only surplus. So we normally see about $3 billion worth of capital gains. There was $9 billion in a single year. Now it's returned back to almost normal. So we had this pop of one-time money that we couldn't do ongoing things with. We couldn't invest in ongoing deals. So what we basically did is, if you look what happened, $1 billion of it was given back to those that paid it in, some, whether it's the property taxpayer, income taxpayer, the business equipment taxpayer. Another $1 billion was put towards some form of infrastructure investment. The roads, the water, the sewer, the buildings, the university we just talked about, those things that help support the tax base going forward. And then because the economy, within raising interest rates and inflation, is somewhat unpredictable, we kept about an extra $500 million in reserve. We did that just in case the system were to recess, to crash, because we wanted to make sure that we weren't out there making bad decisions because we weren't good stewards of keeping a little for a rainy day.
Boy, and I think a lot of people have appreciated that as well. What do you see for Montana's future? I know we have talked on air and off air about, and we've only got like 30 seconds here, so I'm sorry, but we need to kind of look at our tax structure, don't we, a little bit?
We absolutely do, right? Yeah. What has happened, we have a tax structure that built for yesteryear. You know, an example would be our residential class has 550,000 dwelling units, about 300,000 are owner dwellings. We have a kind of a commercial Airbnb visitor class in there that potentially doesn't belong in that class. Maybe it needs to be treated somewhat differently. Yeah. And so we need to hold that conversation on items like that and come up with a more thoughtful approach.
We're going to do that, too. We'll do that on this program as well. I think it's important for all of Montana and the work you do. Thank you for being a dedicated public servant to this community and the state, Lou. I appreciate that.
Oh, certainly it's been my honor.
Yeah, Lou Jones. And we're back with more Andy Schwab. We're going to talk with some of the FFA students in this area and their new FFA teacher, Devin McClellan, here on Voices of Montana on the Harvest Tour.
Right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Love our 406, and we're here in Ponderay County in the Golden Triangle. It's Conrad, Montana today, Fairfield tomorrow. That'll be another good show lined up there as well. Carly Johnson, as I mentioned, no relation to Cindy Johnson.
Oops.
We'll be on the program tomorrow to talk about bear predation in this area. She testified in Congress a little while ago, and that'll be real cool. We'll talk more as we get to Fairfield about the Greenfield Irrigation District there and how important that is. And we'll speak with Daryl Flowers tomorrow in Fairfield, and he's the producer, the publisher of the local paper there, and also initiated a historical society because they found some old photographs of the creation of the Greenfield District, and that's going to be a really cool conversation tomorrow on Voices of Montana. Andy Schwab is with us here as well from the Northern Ag Network. Tom Schultz alongside as we are at Frontline Ag Solutions in Conrad, Montana, and really looking forward to this segment too, because as we talk, Andy, about the farming and the tradition, and we talk a lot about FFA because that's where the tradition gets passed on.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And as mentioned earlier, you know, growing up, to me, it was Future Farmers of America, but now it's not just farmers. It's leaders. It's folks running the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. It's folks running the Frontline Ag dealership here in Conrad, Montana, or it's anybody that's, you know, at the office leading a team in an office meeting. It's somebody that is just gaining those skills that are going to be so crucial in every walk of life. Throughout their life, anyways.
Devin McClellan has joined us. It's Mr. McClellan to many here, the new FFA advisor and the ag teacher here at Conrad School. How you doing, Devin?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Should I call you Mr. McClellan? Would that be okay?
Well,
I guess you're not a student, so I'll give you free range, I
okay.
guess.
Hey. Mr. McClellan, why is it you want to be an ag teacher? And thank you for doing that, by the way.
Well, you know, in high school, you know, I was moved to a different high school pretty much to do FFA closer to where we lived and ranched and stuff back home. And, you know, after a couple of years of doing that, I realized that being an ag teacher would be a pretty cool job. You know, you get to be pretty flexible, and it's a new thing every day, and you never stop learning. And, you know, getting to share some of the experiences that I had in FFA with some, you know, my students and let them see kind of the fun and, you know, gain from it as well, what we do in the organization, is really what kind of drove me to be an ag teacher.
Yeah. Earlier, Representative Lou Jones, as we said, former FFA president, had said that we need to educate not for our generation, we need to educate for the next generation, thinking ahead. How are we doing that in our schools?
Well, you know, I was just talking to him, too, while we were standing here, you know, and we were talking about how a lot of times in ag or some of these other non-core classes like FCS or industrial arts or something like that, you know, we're taking what they learn in the core classes and applying it to something that they may actually be interested in. You know, when I was in high school and still today, I'm not the best math guy in the whole world, and that's probably why I'm an ag teacher, but, you know, I couldn't really do Pythagorean theorem for my math teacher, but I could lay out a rafter for the ag teacher, you know, and I think letting kids apply it to something that they're interested in, you know, helps them feel that or take that next step, you know, and also, you know, just being in agriculture, and we try to do a lot outside of the classroom and let kids see people who are in the industry and see, you know, maybe some role models or see people who have made it in ag, and I think that's a lot, too, that helps kids see that this is a prosperous industry and that's something that they could go into.
Why don't you introduce the only two people wearing ties here?
She's wearing a scarf. But.
Yeah. Oh, it's a scarf. Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Well, this is Cole Waldeski. He's a junior here. He's my first vice president this year. And then Madeline Stokes is also here. She's our second vice president. She's going to be a junior as well. So, you know, I'll let them talk a little bit about what they do in our program and what they do at home and, you know, what they do for their community.
Madeline, you're to my right. Why don't you talk about your family here and your operation, and then we'll get into, you know, maybe why you want to continue in ag.
Well, I'm Madeline Stokes, like you guys said, and I'm the second vice president. And my family's lived here forever. My dad was born and raised here, and my mom moved here, back here with my dad. And my dad did FFA when he was in high school. And then I got into it when I was in, like, seventh grade, just doing it, starting out with livestock judging at KMON in Great Falls. And we have a small little ranch west of here. So, yeah.
A ranch. Most of this is farm country, but you guys are raising cattle.
Yes, that
yeah.
is correct.
Yeah, that's good. Cole, talk about you.
Well, I've always been around livestock since I was a little kid. I mean, my parents, I mean, they were always in agriculture. My mom was an FFA member for the Kalispell FFA chapter back in the late 90s. And, you know, she always loved it. And she never really pushed it on me, but she told me that was a great organization to be a part of. So when I was younger, I kind of decided to join. And it's only done good things for my life, I guess. But my family's always been around, you know, horses and cattle and sheep more recently. My family started doing a small little herd of breeding ewes, and we started having our own little herd to lamb out, and it's been a good learning experience for us kids to have our parents, you know, let us go out and lamb out, and you get to see the cute lambs as soon as they're born. That's kind of a plus. But yeah, you know, it's just learning experiences that, you know, I can take on for the rest of my life and raise sheep and maybe show my kids one day, you know, how to raise sheep. And sheep are nice because you can manhandle them, you know, because you can actually, like, move them around without, you know, having to saddle my horse. Yeah.
Or woman handle them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cole, we talked earlier a little bit about the numbers, the growing numbers of FFA across the nation and across Montana in general as well. What's that mean for you as a student trying to get some of your peers involved in this organization that may have had that connotation for years that it's just for the farmers? How's that been for you to kind of get some of your friends also involved in the organization?
Well, I mean, we live in kind of a rural community already, right? I mean, you know, half the kids in our high school don't live in a townhouse with a little bitty tiny backyard. But a lot of the guys that do, you know, when I talk to them, I'm like, man, you know, they're like, oh, where are you going for FFA this week? You know, John Deere Ag Expo or wherever it might be, going on cool trips to Bozeman. That's one thing you could talk about is the cool trips to Bozeman. They really like that. But, you know, it can be challenging maybe at first, but it's kind of encouraging to see other people getting their friends come in. And mainly I've been talking to a lot of guys that, you know, they're maybe really into athletics and town people, but maybe they're a little interested. And so we invite them to meetings. We usually have food at the meetings, get them to drag them in. And we talk about, you know, what contests we do, and we get them to try it. I mean, if there's a kid that's, you know, maybe he's a freshman and he wants to try the mechanics team, we're trying to get him on a team and take him to a contest to get him the experience. Because, I mean, it wasn't really until I experienced it that I really realized how great it was, you know. So just talking to kids in school, using FFA week to promote FFA, and we are growing as a chapter every year. So I guess those are the ways we kind of grow.
That's great news. That's Cole Waldusky, first vice president of the FFA chapter here in Conrad, Montana. Madeline Stokes, second vice president. They're both juniors going into their junior year. Madeline, we were chatting, are you planning a career in ag?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about going to Eastern Wyoming in Torrington for a vet tech, and I can also show livestock there still because I show all four animals in 4-H, and I also show at jackpots around the state for beginning of the summer, and then once that's all over, then I put all my breeding ewes in with my buck, and then getting to start breeding for the next show year.
That sounds like you're real busy. That's an aspect that you like about agriculture, that showmanship. What are your plans leading maybe into the future? Is there something you can do with that?
Yeah, so showing livestock, you look at the aspects of like what animals like high quality to produce onto the next generation. It shows like the high power breeding aspects of a buck and a ewe or a bull and a cow, goats and pigs, etc., for whatever animal you're preferencing on. So my dad mostly did cows and horses, and my mom brought sheep into the family, and then I saw a goat and a pig at a fair one time, and I was like, I kind of want those too.
That's how it happens, right?
Yeah. Now I show all four animals, and it just really shows the breeding aspects of all of that. And I've always been interested in being a vet of some sort, but I don't really want to go to college for the full 8 years, so I compromised and wanted to be a vet tech so I could just go for the 2 years. Yep. And after that, you can basically go anywhere for vet tech. Everyone's looking for that. Being a part of the feed industry, too, that's also a big thing, and that's also really needed because no one really knows of, like, how to mix feed a lot, and you want, like, high-powered feed all the time, protein, and medications are getting added into feed now, so they keep them healthy and prevent things. And, I mean, that would be pretty cool to go into, too. So there's, like, so much that FFA, 4-H, that can, like, all provide for you. And Frontline Ag actually sponsors FFA and 4-H and mm-hmm. does a lot for us. So, yeah.
Devin McClayland, Mr. McClayland. Obviously good to hear your students talk like this and the confidence. And what's your thoughts?
Well, I guess I'm glad I brought some of the literate ones here this morning.
Oh.
It's always cool to see these students or any chapter students, you know, be able to, build their passion for agriculture and want to come back. And, you know, even students that, like Cole just said, you know, maybe they didn't know what it was. And, you know, we get them in there and they become advocates for our industry. And, you know, it's what we do as ag teachers. It's what we're supposed to do is build that next generation. And, you know, that's why a lot of us want to teach is because we want to, you know, show them the ways that this industry can be beneficial and helpful to their career and life, you know.
Talk about the county fair as well. I mean, did you guys just have yours recently? How did that go?
Well, so the Marias Fair is 4-county fair, so it's, you know, us, Toole, Glacier, Liberty counties. It's pretty much mostly a 4-H fair, but so, you know, it's like first county my life I've never had no responsibility at, so I was at, you know, the ice cream stand and stuff. It was pretty nice, but the Ag Teacher up in Shelby does a couple things, and you know, we brought some of our elementary summer school kids up there to the fair and kind of entertain them as far as the FFA goes. But you know, I like all the county fairs, even the ones that I've kind of been a part of in other places in the state. You know, they're definitely growing and getting bigger, and that's good, you know. And I think a lot of people are starting to see the value in, you know, maybe coming out of the city and seeing some of this way of life. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, really, I guess. Yeah. You know, if they want to participate and learn, you know, how to sustain themselves and sustain our country and that kind of stuff. I think that's a cool deal, really. So, you know, I think the county fair went pretty well. It wasn't super hot. So
yeah, good.
That's always the big thing.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for what you're doing, and Cole and Madeline. Thank you guys as well. You know, I just get that sense that when we talk with kids, especially Montana kids, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay down the road. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having
us.
Yeah,
thank you for having us. Yeah,
we'll take a short break and come on back. And as we'll conclude here, Mick Irvin from Eagle Beverage will be on and talk about some of the things going on here as we are out 406, and it's the Harvest Tour on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
406, and again, it's the Harvest Tour. We're in Conrad, Montana, Fairfield tomorrow with Andy Schwab, Tom Schultz alongside. Just a couple of minutes here. Mick Irvin joins us. Mick from Eagle Beverage out of Great Falls and a sponsor of the tour. We're going to go out and deliver lunches today, and then also there's a little social event going on tonight. How important, Mick, and thank you for doing this, how important are these farmers to your business?
Hey, Tom, it's pretty simple. Without barley, there's no beer. I mean, that's just I mean, that's just what it is. We appreciate the farmers or the producers and what they do. Uh-huh. And without them, there would be no business. So, you know, the Eagle Beverage Team, Busch Light, and all the other brands that we represent just want to make sure that the producers know that we're supporting them, we're behind them 100%, because without them, we wouldn't have anything to do. I wouldn't have a job, obviously. So, yeah.
Sack lunches, and these are good lunches, too. But who's making them here?
Great lunches provided by the Branding Iron here in Conrad. Yeah. I've had one myself yesterday, so I can attest to it. Really good. And on that note, too, tonight from 6 to 9 p.m., if you guys or if anybody's in the area, we're going to have the Busch Light guy from the commercials. He was on the Super Bowl commercials and everything.
Yeah. Oh.
He's going to be down at the Branding Iron doing a meet and greet. So come on down, have a beer, courtesy of the Eagle Beverage Team and Anheuser-Busch, and, yeah, have a good time.
That's real cool. And we're also you guys are also giving away a big wall tent. And,
yep.
Are there coolers? You guys giving away coolers tonight, too?
I believe we are, Tom. Yeah, we've got some coolers to give away. I've got a QR code for the wall tent, so all you got to do is scan it and enter in. You know, hunting season's right around the corner. Starts a couple weeks. So, yeah, just get yourself entered in to win a wall tent.
In 10 or 15 seconds, what do you want to take away from this trip today as we go out and visit the producers?
You know, really just want to hand out some lunches and thank the producers for all their hard work, not only through the last couple months but throughout the year. Because like I said before, no barley, no beer. They're a huge cog in the wheel, you know, for us, and probably one of the most vital, important pieces. And Anheuser-Busch supports them, too. So,
Mick Irvin, Eagle Beverage, thank you for doing that. This will be good. We're going to hit the road here. We got a lot of places to visit here, and we'll say hello to the Martins and the Ellises and the Wheelers and the Grubbs and the Johns. Thank you for joining us. We're in Fairfield tomorrow as the Harvest Tour continues on Voices of Montana. Thank you, Andy.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.